Now I'd like to read from a number of passages, the book of Exodus, chapter 6, for a verse or two. The book of Exodus and chapter 6 and verse 20. And Amram took on Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. And verse 23, and Aaron took him Elisheba, the daughter of Aminadab, sister of Nashon, to wife, and she bare him Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and the sons of Korah. So on verse 25, and Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the fathers of the Levites, according to their families. Now over to chapter 28. Still the book of Exodus and chapter 28. I want to keep you turning to a few passages here, but we'll read briefly in each one. Exodus 28 and verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And then we have the garments made for these people. Verse 40, and for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets, shalt thou make them for glory and for beauty. Now, over to Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, and chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, and we read it verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not, and there went out fire from the Lord, and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Verse 4, and Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Verse 12, and Moses spake unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons that were left. Now, the book of Numbers, and I think there's a verse in chapter 4, of the book of Numbers. Chapter 4 of the book of Numbers and verse 16. Unto the office of Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest pertaineth the oil for the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is, in the sanctuary, and in the vessels thereof. Now chapter 19 of this book. We're getting near the end now. Chapter 19 of Numbers. Verse 2. This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came yoke. And ye shall give her unto Eleazar the priest, that he may bring her forth without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. And Eleazar the priest shall take of her blood with his finger, and sprinkle her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. Now chapter 20 of Numbers. Chapter 20, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. Verse 25. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there in the top of the mount, and Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount, and so on. Now lastly, in the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua and chapter 24. Verse 33. And Eliezer the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. And that's a whole lot of reading there, and we trust that the Lord will give us some understanding in the Scriptures. Now, as I've already said, it has been short notice for us all, so I'm just going to speak a very simple little word, a direct little word, and the time is brief, and I'll say what I want to say and then let you all get home for your tea. We'll not have any trimmings or introductions or conclusions or big pieces in the middle or anything like that just this afternoon. What I want to try and do is to take a little look at one of the characters, maybe one of the lesser characters, or at least lesser known characters in the Bible. One of the things that encourages me to think about this man is that we get a full range of his life, because we read about his birth right through until his funeral. The man that I have in mind is Eliezer, and he's the man who became the second high priest in the history of the nation of Israel. Now, that's an interesting observation immediately. He was the second high priest, so that it became the responsibility of this man to carry on something that had been started in his father. You know, the second generation doesn't always manage well, and maybe the third and fourth generation manage even less well. But what I would like to say this afternoon, I hope, will be an encouragement to all, and a particular encouragement to those who are younger, those of us who are younger, so that we might be enabled to carry on for the glory of God what better men than ourselves have seen started. Now, as far as this man was concerned, he was just born in the slavery of Egypt. When his mother Elizabeth gave birth to this boy, her third son, there likely wasn't a person ever dreamt what his future would hold. They likely thought that here's another wee brickmaker for Pharaoh. Born in slavery, born in a land where they were just making bricks, and here's another one just to build up the treasure cities of Egypt. But you know, God had different plans for them, and it all worked out marvelously different. I would say, just to encourage us all today, you never know the potential of a human being. Some of you mothers in the meeting, maybe some of the little ones can be a little bit troublesome and a little bit wearisome, and I suppose we all give our share of that kind of thing. But I say this, let us never despise a child, for there is no knowing under the hand of God what that child can be. So that here's a boy, and his birth was not by any means promising. And yet, by the grace of God, a story that started so poorly, it had such a grand conclusion. You know, where would any of us have been? Just let us think about it for a minute. This Lord's Day afternoon, where would any of us have been apart from the grace of God? Where would a Sunday evening have found us? Apart from divine grace and redeeming power, we might have still had our nose in the mud and begging bricks in the ovens of sin and in the slavery of Pharaoh. But thank God we've been brought out by a marvelous deliverance. Now, the next thing in this boy's life, it must have been a strange thing for him. He was likely a boy maybe in his teens when they started this whole business of putting the blood round the door and getting off. And although he himself might not have taken in everything, if he's maybe in his 20s or early 20s or late teens, he might not have taken everything in. But there was one thing that he learned, that if God is going to bring a people out, it can only be on the basis of blood. And it can only be by the price of the life of a lamb. Now I think maybe we preach about it that often, and it's so familiar to us, and it's so commonly in our thoughts, that we've almost lost the wonder of it. It must have been a mighty strange sight for houses, hundreds of houses in Egypt, to be all plastered with blood. Likely all the Egyptians thought they were away in the head, these people. Plastering the whole place with blood. If you had been an Egyptian, and anyway, a thinking Egyptian, you would have said, what your red paint will do. If you want something that you can see, and something that'll put on good bright red paint, and that'll just be the same. But of course God said, no, it's not the colour that matters. It's the fact that it's blood, and the indication that a life has been given. So that coming out redeemed by blood, we've already remembered it this morning, and nearly every Lord's Day morning, and a good deal in between, we remember that our redemption, it has cost the precious blood of Christ. So his birth as a slave. And then he was brought out of Egypt by blood. And those of us who were saved in the meeting this afternoon have had very, very much the same experience. Then he wasn't too long. I'll not go into the manna and all that. I could spin it out if I wanted to add that, but I'll not do that. He wasn't too long out of Egypt until he heard that old fellow Moses talking about getting a tent made. And he told them, he says, if we make this tent the way God wants it, God says he'll live with us. Well, you say, what? God's going to live with us? What do you mean, Moses? That the great God who made the worlds and put the universe in its vast framework, that God's going to live with us in the wilderness? Yes, yes, Moses. But he says we have to make him a tent. And he says it'll have to be a better tent than the ones that we live in. And he says there'll be gold and all that stuff in it, you know. And he says, actually, Moses would say, now listen, boys, God actually showed me a pattern of it. He says, way up there. And he says, God has told me that if we're prepared to follow the pattern which he showed, that he'd come and live with us. My, this is something. So they got busy working. And I'm sure that this boy Eliezer, there must have been many times, like many another lad in Israel, he must have been mesmerized, and the women were weaving, and they were putting the colours in the right places, and they were making the curtains according to the length, and the men were beating out the gold and beating out the brass, and they were shaping the silver, and they were doing everything with very, very great care, and they were paying attention to meticulous detail. You see, far too fussy. It'll do right now. And you say, fussy. They say, listen. They say, we want to have God living with us. And they say, now listen. God has told us there's a pattern, and he's told us it's 2 cubits and a half. And it's 1 cubit and a half. And there's so many cubits, and it's this, and it's that, and the breadth, and the width, and the height. And they said, we would love to have God's presence with us. And if we are going to get his presence, he has told us that we have to watch the pattern. So we're gonna be particular about detail. If I were following that through, we could nearly make a larger sermon about that. You know, dear brethren and sisters, I know it doesn't apply here in Porto Vogue, but I'll just say in a general sense, do you see, you know, we would love to have the Lord's presence. And we love. But we know it. We know what we could say in our sleep. The Matthew 18:20. And we would love to have the Matthew 18:20 promise. And the Matthew 18:20 present. But the question today is this, are we prepared to have the Matthew 18:20 potter? Now they said, eventually they got it built. And it was some day. There they had a just finish. And will you hear what happened? Now Eliezer saw this. The boy that had been born and bred in Egypt, the boy that had come out with his family under the banner of the blood, the boy that now saw this building made according to the pattern, he stood with a rest, with breathtaking suspense, and God moved off the top of the mountain. The cloud came right down, and God took up his residence in the heavens. It was good enough that God would come down from heaven to the top of Mount Sinai. There's still a bit of a distance. But now he comes from the top of Mount Sinai, right down into the sanctuary in the midst of these people. And you see, when that day was done, there wasn't a man in Israel, or there wasn't a woman either, that didn't say, if you had been talking to them, they said, well, you know, to tell you the truth, it was hard work. I spent hours on it. It was hard work. But they said, well, what I tell you, it was well worthwhile. They said, do you see that God has actually come to live amongst us? Now, they were people that seen big buildings. It wasn't the size of it that impressed them. Oh, these people had moved in the great plains of the Nile. They had seen the massive pyramids. They had seen the Sphinx. They had seen some of the great tombs of the pharaohs. They had seen some of the great palaces of those ancient kings. They had seen it all. I'll tell you, do you see the day that God came down and lived in the tabernacle? It made the buildings of Egypt just appear in person. They said, there's nothing on earth to compare like this. This is something absolutely unique. We never thought we would see the like of it. And I know that I can say in this place today with great comfort, brethren and sisters, you know, there's nothing on earth to be compared with God's assembly when the Lord's presence is enjoyed amongst his people. You know, I have been at meetings once or twice and here and there. And I was convinced it wasn't a formula. It was such a reality that everybody present at the meeting went home feeling that we had got a little taste of heaven upon earth. Nothing like it. Oh, may God help us again just to appreciate the dignity and the distinctiveness of the presence of the Lord amongst his redeemed people. Eliezer was there. Now, they got it up. God's living. He says, there's a your brother there. He says, I want him and his four boys to work full time for me in here. Huh? He says, I want them to work full time here. Your brother, yes, your brother. The boy that made the calf, yes, I'm a forgiving God. Yes, I want your brother and his four sons to work in this tent of mine full time. And he says, they're gonna have to get properly dressed. So Moses told Aaron, he says, Aaron, get the four boys. Eliezer was there that day. First thing he says, now you have to wash them. Oh, what for? You're going to work in God's house. So he says, if you're going to work in God's house, you'll have to be clean. Oh. And he says, get nice white coats made. I can really see Eliezer. And he put on the linen tunic. And then he tied around his middle that linen belt. He never had linen like that on his back before. Down in Egypt they had different things. Slave maybe wore a bit of old sackcloth or something like that. Or maybe a bit, little better. But he's putting on a linen coat now. And he put the wee bonnet around his head. Or I think Mr. Darby maybe translates it, if I remember correctly, the high bonnet. And they're all set. You know, can I just say, to see younger folks here today, it's great to see a few of them. And the older brothers and sisters, they know it well, and they're not lightly repeating it in the slightest. You know, it's a great thing to be redeemed. It's a great thing to be associated with a place of God's presence. But do you see, if I'm going to be useful in that place, I'll have to live a life of living. I'll have to live a life of purity. I have to be clean. That will mean in every sense of my life, and Eliezer must have been, in a sense, I think he must have been challenged, and yet he must have been proud. To think that I was just a slave. I was just a slave of Pharaoh. And God saved me out of Egypt, and he didn't only save me out of Egypt, but he's now going to give me a service in his sanctuary. You see, I believe that we think far too little of conversion. You see what God has done with us. Here we are, a little handful of people today, and the Irish Peninsula, God has saved us, given us some idea of the dignity of his house. And he has actually put within the reach of each one of us the possibility of serving him in his house. But he said, there's more. You see, he says, we're going to put blood on you. Huh? What do you think? We put blood in his ear. Bad enough putting blood in the house. But you're putting blood now on me. See, what's all this about? Well, it's a different lesson. Says Eliezer, it's a different lesson. Son, now, just take it easy. He says, when God put blood in the house, he says, that was salvation. The oldest boy in the house was saved from death. That was salvation. But he said, this is consecration. And he said, it's not just blood in the house. He says, it's blood on the man. You see, we need to learn this. This was a lesson that this boy must have learned. That not only does sacrifice deliver me from the doom of sin, but sacrifice has a claim upon my person. So that here we are this afternoon again, and I say, we're redeemed by blood. But you know, the death of Christ has also a claim upon our highest faculties. And Eliezer had to learn that. And then Moses says, now wait now, he says, I want to tell you. Moses took some of the pieces that were slain and some of the pieces that were beside the altar. And he put them on the hands of these boys. They stood out against us. Now come on, I want some of you younger fellows, our younger sisters, just to think about this. There were a lot of teenagers, or these boys in their 20s, I presume, probably, standing. And now they've got a sacrifice in there, and the old fella, goes with you away, we're 80. He put his hands underneath there, and he waved them. He says now, boys, he says, I want to tell you, he says, when you're offering the sacrifice, that's the way you do it. And then when he did that, then he put them on the altar. And they all went up and spoke to God. And God, but he showed the young fellows how to handle the sacrifice. You know, there have been men around Portofovia, I'm quite sure. And one of the great features of the men was this, that they could teach those of us who were younger how to handle the things concerning the person of Christ. They had a touch with them. And they had a maturity. And they had a spiritual sensitivity. And when Eliezer stood that day, dressed in white, the blood on his ear, and the weight of the sacrifice in his hand, I think the boy learned that this was serious business. This was not play acting. This was dealing with God. I tell you, there's nothing helps a younger person to value blood to know that I'm out of Egypt, to know that I'm dressed in linen and in purity, and to feel the weight of Calvary. Feel the deep meaning and the heaviness of the cross. Get a grip on things. Oh, may God help us to get a hold upon the sacrifice, so that I can talk about the different aspects of the cross and its meaning and its relevance. That's what Eliezer had to learn. They had a week of that. That was what we would call their induction week, or their consecration week. And that's over. And Moses says, now look, boys, he said, it's all yours. He says, I have shown you how to do this. And he said, now it's all yours. So it comes to the first day, or maybe the final day or the first day. It's hard just to decide it. We say it comes to the first day of their new service. The induction period is just about over. Now you think about these four boys. I'll name them. Nadab, the eldest. Abihu, number two. Eliezer, number three. And Ithamar, number four. And it's just their first day of service. How? I was going to say how excited. Maybe that is the word. How excited they must have been. Two boys dead. What do you mean? What do you mean, Lord? You gave the four of us a job in your sanctuary, and you got us all dressed up, and we thought this was wonderful, and now you've killed two of them. On the morning of that day, Eliezer was number three. By the time the sun went down that evening, Eliezer was number one. The two older boys were gone. I don't believe it was a day that he ever forgot. You see, what has happened? Those two older boys decided to bring into God's sanctuary something that he didn't want there. I cannot tell you all the ins and outs of it. We'll talk about that some other day in the will of the Lord in some place, but just here today, we'll stay with what the Bible says. The Bible just says it was strange. It was alien. It was foreign. It didn't belong there. And God struck down the two boys dead, and the two younger boys, I'm sure they froze. Actually, God told them, mind you, this has always impressed me as a terribly solemn passage of Scripture. I don't want to be tested along this line. God said to Aaron, Moses said, you make sure those two younger boys don't show any signs of mourning. Now he says, don't let them show, he says, let the whole tribes of Israel, let the whole congregation mourn. But he says, the two boys that are closest, he says, don't be letting them mourn about the death of their two older brothers. He says, I have come out in discipline. And he says, I want those boys to recognize that my discipline is stronger than family tie. Eliezer watched the two bodies of his brothers, favored brothers, being carried out just like Lot. He wasn't allowed to take off his bonnet to salute the removal of the corpse. I tell you, if ever there was a solemn day in Eliezer's life, it was that day. You see, all I say as I hurry on is this. Serving God is a delightful thing. But serving God is a very dangerous thing. Because just any one of us could step over a mark. And God might have to say enough. Is he not? And I learn from the boy that was born a slave, the boy that was brought out under blood, the boy that was dressed up in linen for the sanctuary, the boy that handled the sacrifice, dead that he would never forget, this boy Eliezer, he lived to see his true brother under the discipline of God. And he learned a lesson that you can't take liberties in God's things. And may he preserve us from trying to do that. Well, the thing had to go on, of course. And throughout the period of the wilderness, I'm going to abbreviate this now very, very quickly. Throughout the period of the wilderness, we are told in that beautiful little text in Numbers chapter 4 that the responsibility of Eliezer, now he's not the second high priest yet, oh no. You know, you don't get the slaves just. There are some boys, if you let them take the Bible reading, they'll never miss. But if you want them to clean the hall and not the scene in the Ars Peninsula, from Port of Bogey to Newton Ars, they want the big jobs, but no, they're all right, son, you'll get the big jobs but just wait, you'll start off the smaller thing. So in Numbers chapter 4, we are told that throughout the wilderness journey, it was this young man, Eliezer's responsibility to look after on two things that are specifically named, oil for the lamp and incense. Ach, you say, she was not much in that, like. Just getting oil for the lamp and getting incense. Mind you, there is one thing that I say about it, that it maybe wasn't as easy as it looks, because there was some oil used every day and there was some incense used every day. So they kept them busy. It was Aaron burned the incense and it was Aaron and kept the lamps going. So this man had to do something. He was grinding away, mixing up all this stuff in this incense and grinding away into crystals, and he was beating out this oil and he was getting it, and yet it was another man was going to be using it. But he's doing the backroom work. And because of his backroom work in the sanctuary, there's going to be illumination. And there's going to be beautiful perfume. You know, some of you young fellows, younger brethren here, I want to say to you this. Don't worry about the publicity of it. Don't worry about Believer's Magazine and Truth and Tidings report. But you see, if you can work away quietly and unobtrusively and without ostentation, if you can work away in the background, and if you can do for Port of Bogey Assembly, you do something that helps the light of the place. Makes it a wee bit brighter. You know, the assembly at Lurgan could do with being a little bit brighter. Maybe if I worked a wee bit more at the oil, it would be brighter. And if as well as making it a wee bit brighter, you could make it a wee bit sweeter. Well, I tell you, you have done a real good job. Now, I skip over. I was going to talk about the next big date in this man's life. Now, you've got him dressed up. He's got the jobs. His life is going on. They're going through the wilderness. He's keeping the sanctuary warmed with the light, and he's keeping the sanctuary perfumed. You know, keeping things sweet. I don't know how it goes here, but certainly I know about other places. Keeping things sweet, you know, is a problem. There's a lot of fellows very good at creating sour puss, but just keeping the incense going, it's a rather difficult thing. But he's at it. I skip over the red heifer. That was more blood. That wasn't the blood on the door. That wasn't the blood on the body. Here's blood being used differently again, Numbers 19. But I say I'd have to skip it over. But he had to learn the uses of blood. You know, one thing that will mark a developing believer is an appreciation of the different aspects of the value of the blood of Christ. You work away at that. It's quite simple. I know you've finished it. Then, anyway, after year. God said one day to Moses, he says, Moses, tell your brother, I tell his son to come up to the mountain. I want to talk to you up there. Three come up. So, 123, 120, two boys went up the mountain like teenagers. Now they're paying their debt. Not a sign of wear. They had a younger man with them. Three men went up, but only two came down. Aaron's gone. God told Moses, he said, look, Moses, Aaron's day is over. And he says, I want you when you're up the mountain. It was a very solemn scene. I often was. It was tough on Moses, you know. Just to take his brother up, hale and hearty. Take the clothes off him. Put them on his son. And Aaron just died there and then. And the office, and carried over to Eliezer. The significant point that I want to make is this. This man that had been so well trained, and this man who had been so diligent in his service in the tabernacle, there comes a day when he's able to carry on his father's responsibility. He was ready for it. The years of training had broadened his shoulders. Mind you, when he came down the mountain that day, he came down a much heavier man than what he went up. I have no idea of how to compute it, but I would take a rough, just a general idea, that those garments that Aaron carried, they were fairly heavy. Not breastplate. Not saying it was ton weight or anything. And all those garments with gold, and the five or six garments, and the stones, and the chain. I mean, Eliezer went up the mountain that day. He went up the mountain just as free as I am. But when he came down the mountain, he was carrying weight that he never carried before. It's all different now. The man has changed, but the office is just the same. And the work's going to be carried on into the next generation. You see, there's a thing that I want to say. And I'm maybe going to cause a row now, but that'll be all right with time to get over. You know, dear brother, older brother, I said quite a wee bit for younger brother. I want to say a word to older brother now, and you forgive me for saying it. Because I'm maybe too young and inexperienced to say it, but just forgive, older brother, there comes a time when you should take off the garment. You know, their older men still insist on being a correspondent. When they could hardly write. Now, they were great men. But there comes a time when it is the time to hand it off. God said to Moses, he says, look, Moses, your brother Aaron's not well. And he says, he's not able to know. Aaron was still healthy. But he handed it on. A younger man who was able to carry it. Now it was a big change for Eliezer because it meant that for the previous, whatever it was, the previous 38 years, when the people had a problem, they came to God. Now, when the people have a problem, they're coming to me. I heard it, as a man told me, I've told some of you before, I think you've heard me at it, was a man told me a number of years ago, and I'm going to wind up here. He said, look, Neil, he's a good, some of you know this man, a good brother. He's not that young now, but he was speaking about his younger time. He says, I went to the meetings, he says, and I didn't admit them. He says, I took a bit of part and chimed in and paid a couple of things as best I could. And he said, I really hadn't that much worry. Just went along and did the best. But he said, my father died. He said, not because I was his son. It's just the way that it wasn't not your relationships that got him the job, but just the way things worked out. He said, I suddenly discovered that my father had to carry burdens that I knew nothing about. And he said, suddenly, all the wee problems that he used to have to serve. He said, I just come to the meetings. All I was worried about was the Bible reading, what the Greek word meant in the second verse. says, I will. But he says, now, he says, oh, all the women in the meeting with their problems, but they didn't get their right seat. No. He says, that all comes to me. He says, my father used to get it. He says, it all lands on me. You know, some of the younger brethren here today, and somebody like myself, I may say, you never know what you'll have to shoulder in days to come, but it'll come. And may God grant that each of us will be so exercised before the Lord that when the time comes that we have to take the weight from the shoulders of a good generation that have preceded us, that we'll be able to take it gracefully and with commitment. And Eliezer came down the mountain, and I think he said within his heart, the generation has changed, but the work's the same. And I seek to carry it up. A big day in his life, the day his father, he lost his two brothers at one end to the wilderness journey. Now he loses his father at the other end, but he has to go on. I'm going to say just a thing about him before I stop. He worked with Moses. He worked with Joshua. This man, Eliezer, did exactly the same as he had worked with Moses. But there's a good thing about him. You know, he took the people farther than his father had ever taken them. His father never took the people over Jordan, but this man did. And he got the land divided up amongst the tribes. You see, listen, dear brethren, again can I speak to those of us who are younger. We talk. Maybe there's a measure of truth in it now. We talk about being able to keep our ground. Hold the ground. And we feel that we can do that. That we have accomplished something. May God help us to do that. But I doubt if that's the divine idea. Eliezer didn't only keep the ground his father conquered, he gained new ground. And he took the people further than his father had ever taken them. Let us not think, I would say, as the book of Joshua says, brethren, there remaineth much land to be possessed. And when he died, they buried him in the hill country of Ephraim. What a burial. What a light. He left behind a boy. Mind you, I'll just say this. I think the boy he left behind was nearly better than his father. His son was called Phinehas. Now, it doesn't always run in the blood. You know, Aaron wasn't a great character in many ways. He got steadier as time went on. But Aaron's grandson was a great man. Moses was a mighty man. And Moses' grandson was a rascal. So that a good man had a very poor grandson. And a shaky enough man at times had a real stalwart of a grandson. Well, the generations bring their changes. May God help us to take a pattern, a leaf from Eliezer's book. What a buried life. What big days. Dear brethren, we are in the day of the second and third generation. May the Lord help us to advance. No retreat. Not even just staying still. A very unlikely thing. May he give us, you say, it's already talking, there's time you're stopped, I know that. But how can we do it? Sure, we're not the men were before us. How can we do it? We're beaten. We just can't do it. Well, I know it's not easy. But I'm going to give you a secret. I think the secret was in his name. You know what Eliezer means? Eliezer means God is our helper. Dear brethren, I know, and I feel it, and you feel it. When I first came to the conference here just 20 years ago, as a boy at school, in fact it would be more, but 25 years, there were men here then that I don't see now. We not have their help again, in that sense. The men are gone! Thank God, God is still our helper. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, not everything is lost. May God grant us his help, so that in the new generation, Eliezer-like, we might cross the wilderness, touch the Lamb, and go higher than others have done in their own day. May the Lord bless His word and bless His people, shall we pray. Our Father, we commit to Thee Thy word. We thank Thee again for its examples. We thank Thee for its encouragements. Mixed with all of these, there are serious warnings. We pray that its admonitions will reach our hearts, and that we might have the assurance of Thy help and Thy presence, and seek to live for Thy glory, whatever changes time and generations might make. So we ask for Thine help as we leave the meeting, and commit the balance of this day to Thee, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.